Seven sure steps, seven necessary steps for success. These seven steps were practiced by Howard Johnson. They were practiced by R.G. Letourneau. They were practiced by Colonel Sanders. They were practiced by the man who owns the, I know his name, but I've forgotten it, McDonald hamburger chain. You name it, anybody who has been exceedingly successful has incorporated these seven steps and ingredients. I'll list them, exhort about them, list another, exhort about it. Number one, every man or woman who has ever been eminently successful has started off with a dream. A dream. A dream. Recently, by that I mean this. Know what God wants you to do and dream about it. Dream about it. Recently, a man came to our area, a man whom I felt I should escort over our church properties. Now, stop and think for a minute. I drove him, first I took him over all the buildings here. I showed him the apartment house next door. I showed him the Worth Furniture Building across the alley. I showed him the annex, the old SD Sleep Furniture Building, down the alley. I showed him the five-story Seifers Furniture Building across State Street. I took him down and showed him the Hammond Baptist, the late Hammond Baptist Grade School. I took him down and showed him the mission, Hammond City Rescue Mission. I took him and showed him the house that Cal Streeter uses, owned by our church, that we let him live in gratitude for his service and while he's in medical school. I took him out and showed him Brother Colston's home. I showed him the parsonage. I showed him Brother Vineyard's home. I showed him Brother Fisk home. I showed him where Dr. Billings lives. I showed him, who else? You know any more houses out there? Brother Helton. Brother Helton lives. I took him and showed him where Dr. Evans lives. I showed him took him through our grade school at Baptist City. I took him through the gymnasium. I took him through the high school at Baptist City. I took him through the college. I took him out and showed him the seminary property where we'll be having college next year. I took him across to the north side of Hammond and showed him the bus center and all the buses. Think of that. That's a pretty big empire. And he said, Dr. Hiles, where did it all start? Where did it start? And I said, it started with a dream. Less than 5 years ago, I stood in this pulpit one Sunday night and I preached on my vision. Word got all over town that the pastor of First Baptist Church is having visions. No joke. They'd been thinking I was going to crack up and they said, it's having visions. I preached on my vision. All of that vision has not been materialized yet. It will be. But most of it is reality. Where did it start? It started with a dream. Do you want to be successful? Picture yourself out yonder in the garden of success. Do you want to be successful? Decide what God wants you to be. I've said this to our young folks year after year. God wants you to be an attorney. You picture yourself putting a shingle on a door. You picture yourself with your name on the front door and the words attorney at law underneath your name. All success starts with a dream. If you believe God wants you to be a doctor, You look out yonder in the future and see yourself in a hospital room helping someone who's ill. If God wants you to be a surgeon, you picture you with a surgeon's knife in the operating room. Listen, these lives that wonder what they're going to do next never do much next. Starts with a dream. It starts with a dream, a goal, something I'm going to do, something I'm going to be, something I'm going to accomplish for God. Starts with a dream. We have two men in our church who recently started a business. And their business is growing by leaps and bounds. They promised God that they would give God 20% of the gross. Now, that's not profits. Of the gross of their business to the church. And they have put tens of thousands of dollars in this church in the last few months. These two men are two of our best men. And I hope I'm not embarrassing them, but I was preaching one time recently in another place, and I preached the sermon, Have a Dream. Not the one I'm preaching tonight, but a sermon I preached, Have a Dream. One of the men was there, and he told me after the service, he said, Brother Hiles, you preached that sermon in First Baptist Church of Hammond, and that's where our business began. For that night, God gave us a dream. When I was a college student, a sophomore in East Texas Baptist College of Marshall, Texas, a preacher came to our campus to preach. Now, he was not the kind of preacher that I wanted to be. But he made a statement. He said, young men, be a miracle. Be a miracle. Be a miracle. And I recall sitting back in the chapel service. And I recall as a young kid preacher, probably the least likely preacher in the entire school to succeed, I recall making this statement. Dear God, I am going to be a miracle. I am going to be a miracle. And back in those days, God set some dreams in my breast. I began to see, forming dreams. What could God use me to do? Nobody, secular or spiritual, nobody, church business or material secular business, will ever be a great success unless first there forms a dream of what I can do, what I believe God can use me to do, until he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Have a dream. Have a dream. The first step to success is to dream. To dream. Number two. Desire. Desire. When you dream enough, you begin to desire. I've started doing something across this country that I think has been a help to dozens and maybe hundreds of preachers. I've been challenging preachers all across this nation to have a dream of something big. For example, if a church runs 100 in Sunday school, I suggest that the preacher have a dream of 500. If a church runs 500 in Sunday school, I suggest he have a dream of 1,000. If a pastor has a church that runs 1,000 in Sunday school, I suggest he have a dream of 2,000. And I suggest to these men across this nation, as you've heard me say, I'm sure, they go out alone and just write down over and over again what their goal is. Up in Michigan the other night, I was preaching several days. Brother Vineyard and I were up there preaching to our black brethren in a fine growing church. They're running about 1,000 in Sunday school. And I challenged them to have 2,500. 2,500. I said 2,500. 2,500. 2,500. 2,500. 20. I had the choir saying 2,500. 2,500. 2,500. I had the preacher say 2,500. 2,500. 20. I said, have a dream. He wrote me a letter the other day. He said, Dr. Hiles, I got the dream. We're going to have 2,500. He said, not only did I get a vision that night of what could be done, I went home and he said, I slept for 8 hours and dreamed every hour of it. About 2,500. He said everything I dreamed about, there's 2,500 of them. 2,500. 2,500. 2,500. You know, when you get the dream, that dream begins to eat in your soul. And all of a sudden, you say, I've got to do it. 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 Until it is the biggest thing in your life. I must do it. I must do it. If your dream is to be a doctor, then desire to be a doctor. If your dream is to be a lawyer, desire to be a lawyer. If your dream is to pastor a great soul-winning church, desire to pastor it. Desire. That's what they say in football. They say that most of the professional football teams and baseball teams are about equal. Who wins? The team that has the desire, that's the team that wins. The team that has the desire. They say that most of the players are about the same. They're picked out of the same pot. Most are about the same. But you know as well as I know, there are certain players that have the desire. I mean, you can't keep them down. They've got to do it. They must do it. Some are in baseball or football to make a living, and some are there to win. And there's a desire. Let me say tonight, if you want to succeed on a bus route, if you want to succeed in a church, if you want to succeed in a Sunday school class, if you want to succeed in business, if you want to succeed in a choir, if you want to succeed in a youth program, if you want to succeed in a WMS circle, if you want to succeed in the department, if you want to succeed in a school, if you want to succeed in a class, if you want to succeed in any way, have desire. I've got to do it. I must do it. I have to do it. I'll die if I don't do it. After you have a dream, let that dream eat you up and consume you till you say, I have to do it. I have a desire. I must do it. I cannot fail. I must do the job. There's a third thing that is necessary for success, especially as this for young people, and that is a decision. A decision. We live in a generation of young people, and men especially, who are not men of decision. We're afraid to decide. Afraid to decide. I have folks come to my office, and they come for one reason, and that is they want me to decide what they do. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying that the secret is decide. Start toward the goal. Now, wait a minute. Be sure you know what the goal ought to be. I'm not suggesting that you fly off the handle tonight. Like that parrot, you know, down in Texas that found went in the house and he found the groceries and found a whole roll of bologna. They'd been to town, a whole roll of bologna. And he ate the whole roll of bologna. I ate the roll, ate the whole thing, all of it. And he never was a fuller, more stuffed parrot in the world. He waddled outside, and he got on the handle of the pump. The old prime pumps used to prime. He was on the handle. He went off to sleep. And suddenly he was awakened by a clap of thunder, and he jumped off the handle and flew off of it. And when he did it, the handle flew up, hit him in the head, knocked out some feathers, knocked him down. And the old parrot looked up and said, that just shows you that you shouldn't fly off the handle when you're full of baloney. Now, I am. You like that, didn't you? Now, I'm not suggesting that somebody's going to say, some fella's going to say, okay, God's called me to go to Tokyo to build the biggest church in Tokyo, and I'm going to swim over tonight. I'm not talking about that kind of foolish, foolhardy decision. I'm talking about first, decide what God wants you to do. And then when you decide, start toward the goal. It may be you ought to start to college, but everything you do, start. I recall that time when God began to impress on my heart that we ought to have a school. Seems awfully insignificant now compared to all the money that we've got to raise and the money that we've got to have and all of the tremendous multi-million-dollar annual business we have here. This year, we'll have to have about $4 million to keep... I mean, that's operating. This is about a $4 million corporation now. And seems awfully... That's over $10,000 a day we've got to have. Over $10,000 a day in all of our ministries here. But I recall... God began to burn in my heart. We've got to do something about our kids. We've got to train our kids. We've got to start us a school. We've got to do it. It must be done. The dream was there. Then the desire was there. And one day, Brother Charlie Hand came over and dropped a classified ad on my desk. It told about a school out here in the Calumet Township that was going to be auctioned off. And I can recall how I decided to bid $35,000. Went out myself that night. to the school board, by myself, to the school board meeting out at the Calumet Junior High School on Ridge Road. Sat there through the entire board meeting, and finally they came. I presented our bid, $35,000. I recall the next Sunday morning, we stood up here and raised the $35,000. But I mean, the hardest thing about all of our schools, Brother Vineyard, was beginning the first one. I mean, to start it, to do it. But somebody's got to say, I'll do it. Somebody's got to say, let's begin. And that's the hardest thing in the world. So after you have your dream and desire, then make the decision to start it. Start saving your money. Go to college. Did you know that that's the reason most people will die and go to hell? They're not decisive enough to say, I will. They won't face it. They won't face it. They come and they say, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. I know Jesus died for me, but it's a long ways down the aisle. Or I'm not sure I can hold out. Start! Good night, start! I often say, listen, look, for example, look at me now. Would you stop and think where I am? I mean, I'm so far out in the middle of the lake, I cannot swim back to shore. There's nowhere in the world. Out. Suppose I say, uh-oh, the school was a mistake. Huh? Well, if it is, I'm going to have the biggest hotel in this area. I mean, obligate yourself. What Pappy Reveal used to say, make God obligated to you. Start it! Begin! Start it! Launch out! Anybody can stand. I recall when I, Brother Vineyard, the first jump you ever made out of an airplane? Boy, I mean that first step. Well, it should have been hard to take. It's 1,200 feet down there. Just jump. Just get out. I can recall coming to the door. And here's, if you did like this. And the paratroopers, Brother Vineyard is a paratrooper. If you do like this, they say, stand the door. And you, that does it. Best thing to do, boy, right? Whee, Geronimo! And just jump. Just jump. Because the decision to start is the big thing. I mean, just do it. You say, preacher, I'm afraid I can't make it through college. Start. Start. Well, how do I pay my bills? Start! You got enough tuition for the first day? Then go a day. Start! Start! Listen, you would be surprised what God has for you tomorrow if you'd start today. Amen. Do you think God would have given us that seminary out there if we hadn't started and bought that first little $35,000 building? Dream, desire, decision. Number four, a dare. Turn me up about that much, fellas. A dare. I want to say a few words about this one. I said, get out on the limb where there's no way back. Burn your bridges behind you. So I'm going to go to college, but I'm going to keep the house back home, so if I don't work out, I can always come back home. You'll go back home. If I found out what you did, I'll send you back home. Burn your bridges behind you. A dare. I recall when I wrote my first book. Really, it wasn't much. It was that book, How to Boost Your Church Attendance. I worked awful hard on it. You'll never know it if you read it. But I worked awful hard on that book. I was a kid preacher, just started out. And I just knew that I'd become the next Spurgeon in writing, you know. I wrote that little book. But I made a mistake. I read it before I sent it to the publishers. And I took it and I said, that's not worth printing. I was going to send it to Zondervan. I took it and wadded it up and threw it in the wastebasket. Walked away. And then it dawned on me, good night, you'll never know whether you can write or not till you send one in. Went back and took the thing and got the iron and pressed the manuscript. and tried to get it where it was desirable and sent the manuscript in to Zondervan. That was over 4 million copies ago of my books. Now, what if I had left that book in the garbage can? Listen, there are thousands of people in this world who could do something if they dare to do it. Dare to do it! Just jump on out! Get on the limb! Do it! Dare! Take a dare! Listen, the world is full of people that fail because they wouldn't take a dare. Dare! I don't mean gamble like betting a dollar, but gamble some. Better to do something imperfectly than do nothing perfectly. You never try, you will never succeed. Grit, gall, and guts. It's a Greek word for intestinal fortitude. Just do it. Just do it. One day, they came out and said, we were taking volunteers for the paratroopers. And I said, man, I just think I'll just go ahead and do it. Next thing I knew, I was in an airplane, 1,200 feet from the ground, with a sergeant behind me giving me undesirable commands. But I dared to do it. Now, you say, Brother Hodge, you mean be a daredevil? No, be a dare angel. Nobody ever succeeds who doesn't have a bit of the reckless in his veins. Nobody ever succeeds who's not willing to risk failure. You'll never go forward until you're willing to be tackled and sent backward. Plunge in the line. Go head on. Have a dare. If you're going to do something big for God, you'll have to dare. Number five, a dedication. A dedication. A dream, a desire, a decision, a dare, a dedication. Now follow me. When that dream is crystallized, and that dream turns into desire, and that desire gets so intense, it incites decision, and that decision is so definite, it promotes a dare, then that dare must be transferred into complete dedication to the fulfillment of the dream. You can't work 8 hours a day and succeed. Did you hear what I said? You can't work 8 hours a day and succeed. I said, you cannot work 8 hours. You men, my young men, got to go out and pastor churches. You've got the idea that you're going to work 8 hours a day and take your nights off and have a lot of time to eat and play and hobnob around. You can pastor a church like that, but I mean, if you're going to be successful and a dream has eaten you up and desire has consumed you and you made a decision to do something big for God and you launch out on a dare, you've got to dedicate yourself day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've got to give yourself to say, I'll do it, 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 I'll do it. And then you live to see the realization of the desire and the dream because you've made a decision to dare and do something unusual. The world is full of folks that do the usual. I've often said, whatever I do, I want to be the top dog at it. If I'm going to be a dog, I want to bark louder than any dog in the whole town. If I'm going to be a fish, I want to wiggle pretty while I swim. If I'm going to be a bird, I want to be a kind of bird that writes smoke signals in the sky when I fly. I want to sing the most beautiful tunes of all. If I want to be a polecat, I want to stink more than any polecat in the whole county. If anything in the world irritates me and stirs me up to want to fight, it's some little namby-pamby kind of a fellow. I just want to be a success. That is, do it, do it, do it. Dedicate yourself. Give it all. You'll never be a success unless you give all you've got. You little 8-to-5 people, I'm not against you, but brother, if you're going to be a success, it'll take more of 8-to-5. Dedication. Dedication. I often say to young preacher talked to me down in Florida the other day. He said, Dr. Hiles, I want to be a success, but says, you know, I don't gather people around me like you do. I said, what time do you get up in the morning? He said, about 9. Man, usually by 9 o'clock. I'm ready to take you out for lunch. Amen. At 9. He said, I don't gather folks around me.
How do you get it?
Listen, brother, even rats will flee a sinking ship. They got enough sense not to stay on something going down. Nobody's going to join something that's going down. Well, man, I can recall when I was a kid, Richard Newton and I used to go downtown Dallas on Elm and Irving Street. We'd get on the corner and we'd get right out in the middle of the street, the intersection, and just start looking up. Folks would come by, look at us. We'd get a little crowd just looking up. One long boil till a dozen folks would come by and they'd go, "We've had as high as 40 and 50 people on the corner. I mean, we blocked traffic. You say, what about the policeman?" He's looking up too. Looking up. You go to the same corner and just look down. You see, well, nobody's going to care about that. Nobody's looking for folks coming from outer space through the ground. Nobody ever gets alarmed because the doodlebug's on a crash. It's an airplane crash that causes folks to come. I mean, when you look it up, folks will say, "I want to go look up." Wait, listen, that's what's happened at this church. Why, there are hundreds of you tonight who never heard of this church till we started moving for God, and you said, "I've got to go see what's going on out there." A dream. A desire. Decision. There. Dedication. I have a lot of mottos. But one motto that I've had through these years is make no provision for failure. Make no provision for failure. I've had people say we're shooting for a big goal on a certain Sunday, but if we don't make it, we're going to do so and so. But if we don't make it, we're going to cry. No provision for failure. None whatsoever. Never even entertain the thought of failure. You've heard me tell about it. Up here at Rockford, Illinois. I preached one night. Little preacher came walking up to me. "Reverend Hiles, you strike me as being a poor loser. Is that so?" And I said, "I don't know. I ain't never lost. I am weary of a generation of teachers and moms and dads that spend more time teaching folks how to be good losers than how to hate to lose. Don't even think about losing. And if you lose, get mad at everybody." Woody Hayes lost the Rose Bowl. He starts throwing things. He picked up chairs and threw them on the feet. Picked up the yard marker and threw it out on the feet. Oh, say, he had a bad spirit. Yeah, but he had a good year. Alvin Dark, fine Christian man. Law had a bad year up at Cleveland where he's managing. And he put it in the papers. Said he got so mad because he had a losing streak, he grabbed some chairs and began to throw them against the wall. Somebody said, "Now, what you going to say about your Christian manager?" I said, "I'm going to say I'm proud of him." What do you expect a fellow to do when he loses? Have a party and blow out candles? Dave and I are watching a tennis match on television. He is a teenager, high school boy, early high school years. We're both watching that tennis match on television. And it was all over the fellow who lost. Smile real big. Ran across the net. David said, "Dad, I don't think I could have done that." And I said, "If you had, I'd have killed you." He said, What do you think I ought to do, Dad?" I said, "If you ever happen to accidentally lose a tennis match," I said, "jump across the net and get your racket, beat him on the head." That's why we lost the Vietnam War. We built a nation of people who are good losers. We need some good winners. Good night. What's wrong with us? Some of you mamas, spend half your life teaching little junior how to be a good loser. And he's one of the best. I'm not suggesting that you hit a fellow over the head with a tennis racket when you lose. It'd be better maybe to gouge him in the stomach with the other end. I'm not suggesting you do it, but I'm suggesting we need to build some winners. When a fellow loses, he ought to, I think he ought to take it with grace. And I think he ought to be a good loser. I think he ought to go to the, if you beat me in something, ping pong, anything, I'll shake your hand, it's over. But I'm going to go to my room and get a picture of you and throw darts at it. Dedication. A dream. Something I've got to do. Something God wants me to be. Something God wants me to build. A dream. And then a desire. I've got to do it. I'll die if I don't. I've got to do it. A decision. I'll start preparing to do it. A dare. I'm going to take a chance. Dedication. I'll give it all I've got. All I've got. All I've got. One of my favorite basketball players in history is Dolph Shays. At the time he was playing, he was the leading scorer in the history of the National Basketball Association. I read an article one time about Dolph Shays, and he told how that he scored all his points. Before the game, he got alone. He got to thinking. I make my living playing basketball. I'm a shooter. Dolph Shays had one of the best set shots anybody's ever had. Sort of over his head like. And a two-hand shot. When two-hand shots were becoming unpopular. But man, he could shoot a long out, a long arching shot. He said, I began to think, I've got to put that ball through that hoop a lot of times or I'll lose my job. There's a fella out there who's ready to guard me. His job is to put his hands in my face. And wave at me and follow me around and hound me and try to keep me from getting the ball. When I get it, keep me from putting it in that little hoop. If he succeeds, I won't make any points. If I don't make any points, I lose my job on the team. I lose my job on the team. I'll lose my salary. I lose my salary. My kids will go hungry. My kids go hungry. They may die. Why are that dirty buzzards trying to kill my kids? He'd go on a basketball court. Fella would reach out to shake hands. He'd say, put her down, you murderer. I'm not saying you ought to hate anybody. I'm saying you ought to hate defeat. Amen. Hate it. Man, listen. I've played every kind of thing there is to play. When I was a kid, just name it. Boy, if it's a game, I'd play it. I played baseball on vacant lots until we'd have to get down and see the ball on the horizon. You couldn't see it. That's why I've got some knots on my head right now. I'd play till so late, I'd reach up and I couldn't see the ball. It hit me in the head, hit me in the eye. Every afternoon when I got home from school when I was 5 and 6 and 7 years old, we took off for a vacant lot. We didn't have any little leagues. Didn't have any uniforms. I mean, we didn't have hip pads. We had strawberries. You know what a strawberry is? That's when you slide right here. And it just sort of scrapes the skin off and blood sort of just bubbles out. Strawberries. I'd play till football. Listen, I've played with 10 cans on my head and for a helmet. I've used up more old baskets for basketballs. Every day. After school, hit the vacant lot. Hit the vacant lot. The guys that gang around. I've played croquet. One day, Bob Keys took a croquet mallet, hit the ball, and it missed that wicket that far. And Bob said it went through. And I said it didn't. And he said it did. And I said it didn't. He said, what you going to do about it? I took that mallet. And I wound that thing up like David's slingshot. If I'd have been the aim that David was, Bob Keys would never have lived, had a heart attack. Marbles. I've played marbles. badminton, goodminton, everything. I played it all. I've played tennis. I've boxed. I entered one time the Golden Gloves. Far as I know, hold a record in the Golden Gloves. The quickest knockout. I mean, I got knocked out quicker than anybody's ever been knocked out. I just looked at the opponent and fell over. I entered the Golden Gloves. I've boxed, I've wrestled, I've run races, I've run a mile, I've gone out for track. I've played everything used to play, and I never have gotten yet. I don't care if it's ping pong or football, I've never gotten yet where I enjoy losing. I can turn on a television set sometime and watch a couple of teams play I never saw before. And I'll choose somebody to pull for, and to this day I'll cry if my team loses. Why? I want to win. He said, well, you got a bad spirit. I don't have a bad spirit. You got to, listen, this thing that caused, well, let's put out of Vietnam, let the communists win the war. Let's just, that's the kind of thing that's ruining this nation. Ruining it. That same thing manifested in church growth. If the preacher says it's not how many you have, numbers aren't important. That's the kind of fellow that wouldn't ooch playing marbles, too. You know what ooching is, do you? Huh? Number six, direction. Direction. Don't be turned aside. Stay on the direction. Stay right in the direction where you're going. Don't be turned aside. You'd be surprised how many opportunities I have to get off the main line. Off the main line. Stay on the main line. Don't be turned aside. Don't stop for a year. I want to lay out of college for a year and see if I can make enough money to get my tuition. Stay on the line. Don't lose direction. What you'll do, as sure as I'm standing here, you'll lay out of college and you'll see a nice car you want to buy. You'll obligate yourself and get you in debt for that car, and you'll start living in a manner that college students can't live, and you won't be willing to go back where you were and live that way. Direction. Direction. Number seven, devotion. Devotion. Now this is the part that divides us a little bit from the world. After you've had a dream, after that dream has eaten you up till it becomes desire, after that desire is begotten, as it becomes so great, till it becomes a decision to start, and after that decision to start has been made, and you make a dare, and after that dare has been made, you dedicate yourself so you can't turn back and you won't fail. And after you've dedicated yourself so much that you have, and you stay on the right direction, you've got to remember this. You will not succeed for God unless you have a complete devotion to Him and His cause. Devotion. Did you know, Brother Vineyard, that each victory necessitates many more? And each, listen to this, each answered prayer obligates a fellow. Young people, listen to me. Each answered prayer means we've got to pray more. At least 12 nights, once a month for a year, I took my shoes off out at the college place. Claimed it for God. Barefooted. I walked up on the hills and said, God, I want these hills. I walked down the valley and said, God, I want this valley. I walked on that water. Said, God, I want this lake. That'd have been a good crowd if I'd announced that ahead of time, wouldn't it? I want this lake. I prayed. God gave us. He answered the prayer. Now it's ours. Now what did that do? One answered prayer requires more time, more prayers. Now I've got to pray for $200,000. So I get the $200,000. What's that going to do? Now I've got to pray for furnishings. Now what's that going to do? Now I've got to pray for enough students to fit it up. Now what's that going to do? I've got to pray for enough faculty members to teach the students. Now what's that going to do? I've got to pray for enough money to pay the faculty member. Don't you see what I'm saying? When a fellow gets to the place to where he says, I have a dream, I'm eaten up with desire,
to see that dream accomplished. I'll make my decision to start. I'll dare to do it. I'll dedicate myself completely to the task. I'll stay on the direction. Pretty soon a fellow gets out to the place where he has to pray or he'll sink. And so a person has to have devotion. Today, it's unbelievable to compare the work we have here with the work it was 15 years ago. Unbelievable. Now, brother, we have crossed the Red Sea. There's no way to get back to Egypt. None. I mean, brother, we are in the wilderness on our way to the promised land. We either die in the wilderness or keep on going. When a man and a group obligates themselves to God, God obligates himself to them. And God is as much obligated to us as we are to him, and we as much as he is to us. Moses came to God, and you heard me say this. Moses talking to God, and God said, Moses, I want you now to leave where you are now. You dwelt long enough here. I want you to go on to the promised land. Moses said, Lord, you go with me and I'll go. And the Lord said, I can't go. I'm busy. I got too much to do. I'm tied up. My schedule is full. Moses said, I'm not going to go by myself. Okay, I'll send an angel. Moses said, I don't even know the name of the angel. If you think I'm going to go to the promised land with a stranger, you're just mistaken. I'm not going to go with an angel. The boss is going to go, or I'm not going to go at all. The Lord said, okay, I'll send a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He said, that's okay, but I want you out there with me. And the Lord said, well, Moses, what are these people going to say about you? You led these folks out of Egypt. I led these folks out of Egypt. I was minding my own business one day when you came along and told me to go to Pharaoh. Well, you know. Well, you brought those people out of bondage. I didn't even want to. I told you I couldn't talk very well. I tried to back out. You told me to do it. And the Lord said, well, I guess you sort of got me where the hair is short. This is all in the Hebrew now. Sort of gotten where the hair is short. I guess I'm going to have to go. Listen, here's one of the sweetest things about what's going on around this place. Sure, we're obligated. We're out on the limb, boy. The whole world's looking at us. Just as sure as we're obligated, the God who led us to do everything we've done is obligated to us to see us through if we'll keep going forward. Oh, you've heard this, Dr. Rice has preached it from this pulpit and others, I'm sure, but one of the sweetest things. Dr. John Rice said he was down in Evansville, Indiana, preaching for the Evansville Mission. An old Pappy Revere, a little bitty short fella, sickly little kind of a guy, little run of a guy, one of the miracles of our world, the last generation. Dr. Rice said, Pappy Revere, sitting there praying. Dr. Rice came downstairs, saw him in the office praying, had a bunch of bills all stretched out here. Lord! He said, these are your bills. What you going to do about them? Everybody in town knows I pay my bills. It's going to be a mighty big stink about your name around this town if you don't pay yours. You told us in the Bible you ought to pay ours. I expect you ought to pay yours too. I think it's $4,000. Maybe it's two, but I think it's four. Had it laid across there. Dr. Rice listened and sort of criticized it. He shouldn't pray like that. Except the first letter he opened had a check for exactly the amount of money. Don't you see, Pappy Revere had God over barrel. He said, that's sacrilegious. I'd be sacrilegious to have the power Pappy Revere had. No, it's not. It's sacrilegious for you who come to God occasionally and pray some little, thou the great God of Jeroboam. No, that's for you, but not for a person that knows God as well as Pappy Revere knows him. When Brother Vineyard wants something, and he usually does every week, he doesn't come to my office and say, thou the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, thou the fellow in a green suit and a green tie and a white shirt, thou the one who took his shoes off in the pulpit last night, I come into your presence on this August morning. It's a June morning, anyhow. On this August morning, I come into your presence, as humble as I know how, beseeching you, Dr. Jack Hiles, D.D., L.I.T.T.D., L.L.D., L.H.D., D.D.T., I come into your presence this morning. He comes in and says, look, preacher, look, man, praise the Lord anyhow, but we're going to have some help. That's the way he does it. You may not like this kind of preaching, but I'll bind you one thing. If you don't, you're a flop. There's not a successful person in this room tonight, but he won't say the 7 steps I've given are necessary to success. Now, where are you on the list? You got a dream? You got a dream? Is God in it? And think about it. Pray about it. Talk about it. Let it become desire. Until you want it, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And then you decide to start to get it. And then when you decide to start to get it, you dare to get it. And then when you dare to get it, you dedicate yourself day and night. God, B.B. Crim used to say, God hates a lazy devil. I don't think God hates anybody, but God hates laziness. There's nothing. Listen, you know why God hates laziness? Because nobody has to be lazy. Everybody can't sing a song. Everybody can't preach a sermon. Everybody can't make a speech. Everybody can't teach a Sunday school class. Everybody can't play the organ. Everybody can't play the piano. But everybody can work. Said to a man last night about his son, raising a lazy son. I said, make him work. He said, well, what? He can't find a job. I said, get him a shovel. Over here and say, dig me out 100 pounds of dirt and come and put it over here. And make him dig and digly sweats. I don't mean perspire, I mean sweat. And then when it gets over here, he says, now what? I said, just take the shovel and take all the dirt over here and put it back in the same hole where you got it from. I'll tell you one thing, if nobody does anything in his life, but just dig a hole and fill it back up and empty it and fill it up and empty it. At least he's learned how to sweat and work. And you've done him a favor. I can recall when David was a kid. Dr. Bill Rice wrote me a letter and said, would you take a Shetland pony if I'd give it to you? A Shetland pony came up here to Munster, Indiana and lived at 8232 Greenwood. Dave was a little kid about that high. Found some folks across the street, let us use a little barn thing back in the back of their yard. 20 below zero. Old David's carrying water over there. Icicle, I mean his nose running, icicle hanging down his nose. Carrying water 100 yards or 200 yards over there to feed that Shetland pony. By the time he got there, the water was frozen. He rode that crazy thing and fed that crazy thing and watered that crazy thing. It got to be a joke on the Hammond Police Department. Phone rang at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, Reverend, your horse is loose again. I said, where is it? Night after night, we had to chase that crazy horse down. He said, that's a dumb thing to do, have a horse in town. But it wasn't dumb for that boy to have to get and carry that water over there and feed that horse. And it wasn't dumb for him to have to get the food and take it over there. You do a child the biggest favor you'll ever do it when you make him work. 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 Success. 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 Oh, you'll be criticized. Lazy folks don't like to see people work and do a better job than they do. You take these preachers, I don't believe in growth. No, that's not what you don't believe in. You don't believe in sweat. Folks that criticize Brother Vineyard. Yeah, I don't believe in all that promotion. No, that's not it, Oswald. Your problem is you don't believe in all that work.
That's right.
I know you'll be criticized. Anytime you dig a bigger mouse trap, all the rats will criticize you. Young folks, listen to me. Hey, listen to me while I'm preaching. You need this. The very thing you're doing now is what will ruin you some of these days. You'll be a lazy sluggard if you won't sit up and listen. When you go to church, you won't sit up and work someday either. You ought to be taking notes on this. You ought to be hearing what's going on. You'll be a slough off, won't be worth a powder take to blow you up. If you'll give me the powder, I'll blow you up. This country is going to hell because of indifference. We're fiddling while Rome is burning. Nobody seems to care. In God's dear name, that's one reason why I want to, listen, you young men, you young ladies, I want you to learn what it is to sweat and work and toil. I want you to get you a dream tonight, and I want you to say, I'm going to have it, I'm going to have it. I've got desire. I'm going to make my decision to start planning and going toward my goal. I'll make a dare. I'll pay the price. I'll gamble if needs be. I'll dedicate myself completely to my goal. I'll devote myself. I'll not change directions. I'll keep on going till someday, blessed be God, I'll hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I can say I've kept the course. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I was thinking tonight, walking down that alley. I'm going to quit now. I was thinking walking down the alley tonight. All the people. This week alone. All the criticism I've gotten. All the dirty letters I've gotten. All the people have been offended with something that I've said, and God knows this is true. Lord, strike me dead if it's not true. I never want to hurt anybody. I wouldn't hurt anybody for the world. God knows that's true. If God in heaven knows I ever told the truth in my life, I wouldn't hurt anybody. God knows it's true. I was thinking of all the criticism. People get offended about this and about that, and the dirty letters I get, and the preachers that hate my insides, and all the nasty remarks that are said. Brother, if I just don't keep going down the main line, God, I mean, I couldn't succeed. You know why? There's something so much greater to me than being liked that I just haven't got time to think about it a great deal. I don't want folks to hate me. I want to be loved like you do. Little girl came to my office this morning. Her mother and dad are moving away. Graduated from college. Starting a church. She hung on to me like her heart would break. Tears pouring out of her eyes like water dripping from a faucet. I thought she was going to pass out. Little heart was broken. As I closed the door, I cried and said, God, bless that little girl. I've been her pastor for a couple of years. I'll never pastor again. Bless her. I want to be loved. I love every little child's hug and kiss. I love the little hello, Brother Hiles. And Brother Hiles, you're my preacher. I love every note they write me and put them under my office door. But there's something so much greater than being loved. And that something so much greater is to find the will of God for your life. And let that thing become a dream in your soul till it burns you up where you say, I've got to do it. And then when that dream comes, you decide, I'll do God's will at any cost. Then you launch out into the deep, burning the bridges behind you and getting out on a limb if needs be, and proving that God is not yet dead, and then dedicating yourself to the task to do it, never changing direction, never turning to the right, never turning to the left, never turning back, and then devoted to God and His will and His purpose until one of these days the goal is fulfilled. You know why I cry so much at graduation exercises? Because a dream is being fulfilled. You know why I cried last week when we gave out these diplomas to these high school kids? I had a dream about that a few years ago. I can't even drive on our campuses without my heart filling with tears and joy. I can hardly walk in this building on Sunday night without looking out and being filled with emotion. Why? Had some dreams about this size crowd. Some dreams. A dream. A desire. A decision. A dare. A dedication. A direction. And a devotion. And whatever you want to do, you can. You can. Get in front of the mirror and say, I can. I can. I can. A lady said to me this morning in my office, I can't do so and so. I said, get your dictionary and take the word can't out of it. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I must. I will. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Would you bow your heads, please?